He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. You're listening to Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're coming at you live from the Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet Studios. We're getting ready to talk a little NBA with one of our favorites, one of the best guys in the business, George Sedano. You like how I set that up? Julian Council is efforting George as we speak.
Well, you get to wait till he's on the line so he hears all the complimentary things you're saying.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. And we like to bring George on whenever we can talk a little bit of NBA because, as I said, this is such a crazy time. And it's just a reminder, and Braden, you missed this yesterday, but one of my rants yesterday was that this is just a normal offseason in the NBA, and it's all anybody can talk about because there's so many interesting things going on. This is a historic offseason in the NHL, and they're burying the release of the expansion rosters into the middle of the NHL award shows. I mean, it makes no sense to me. And
so your solution is like, hey, we need to have like a major 6 p.m. Eastern time announcement of the rosters. Isn't that what?
Yeah, that's exactly. I would have separated it. And this is what I said yesterday. On Sunday, when I tuned into the NHL Network before the expansion protected lists were released, I tuned into the NHL Network thinking, okay, I'll get to see it. Nope, nothing was there. They weren't even covering. They were showing highlights of playoff games. And then an hour later, they started a reaction show that they replayed, like a one-hour reaction show. They just kept replaying. They didn't really cover it. And so you look at the NBA, which sits here, and they cover every aspect of it, much like the NFL. Like, the draft is the time that everybody has hope, just like in the NFL. So this is the moment where if you're a Knicks fan or you're a Lakers fan or you're a Celtics fan or a Hornets fan.
Knicks fans have no hope.
You can look at – well, you'll find a way. If Porzingis isn't traded,
we have no draft picks.
Well, that's a fair point.
We don't have a coach. We don't have any players, really.
Stephen A. Smith says that Phil Jackson's outwardly trying. He's attempting to get fired.
I think he is. I mean, I can't possibly imagine trading Kristaps Porzingis is a smart and rational decision.
I can't figure out like how the mindset goes if you're Phil Jackson, where you're like, here's the thing, I don't want to quit, so I'll just get rid of everybody. And a good point was made. Phil Jackson wrote a book about angering Kobe Bryant. So he literally wrote the book on how to tick off your star player.
Now,
like, he wrote that book.
Now, here's what I will say, though. I do think Carmelo Anthony is a major problem. I don't think he's a good, positive part of the solution. I think the offense comes to a screeching halt. I think he's overpaid. I don't think he's, you know, I don't think Carmelo Anthony is as good a player as people think he is. And he's a spectacular scorer. Like, he can do that anytime he wants to. Does that help your team win? Like, do you want to win or do you want to score? And Carmelo's always wanted to score, not win. And the problem is Phil Jackson gave him the contract. That's the problem.
Right.
He's the one who signed him and re-upped him with the max deal. That's what makes Phil Jackson an idiot in this situation. So, but man, you look at, you know, James. I think James Dolan, the owner, I think is obsessed with Kristaps Porzingis. So I think that's going to solve some of those problems. I think it would be so beyond comprehension for them to trade him that it's not going to happen. But I think you look at the soap opera. The bigger discussion to me is the soap opera of the NBA versus the soap opera of the NHL and Major League Baseball, and the NBA just absolutely crushes it.
Well, and one of the guys that crushes covering it, George Sedano out in Los Angeles. George, I know it's early this morning, man. We appreciate you coming on with us.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's actually I'm actually in Miami today for SportsCenter doing some stuff, so I'm on the East Coast. It's not that early.
They're not making you shave your head, though, are they?
No, they're not making me shave my head. I'm not dumb enough to do something like that.
So let me ask you, because the conversation all morning about the NBA has been about the soap opera around it. Do you expect any more sort of epic, unexpected moves in the next 24 hours before the draft?
Sure, why not at this point, right? Like, I mean, we've seen so many of them that you think to yourself, like, yeah, what else can go, you know, wrong per se, right? Or what else can happen? And there's always something else. This is what this league is predicated on here. And I think it's only going to get more nuts over the next year or two because of the new collective bargaining agreement that makes it so much more restrictive for guys to leave via free agency that you're going to see more trades. That's what this thing basically, you know, became because of the new collective bargaining agreement. You're going to see wild and wacky deals. You're going to see teams trying to get from under the bad deals that they signed when this spike in money was available to them with the new salary cap. So, yeah, this is kind of the fruits of that labor, per se.
So who are going to end up? We know Golden State's going to kind of sit atop the mountain for a little while here. What are the moves that anyone can make, whether it's Boston, whether it's the Lakers, whether it's the Cavaliers, you know, Washington seems like it's got a nice nucleus. What are the big pieces that will fall into place that actually change the balance of power in the NBA, or does nothing change the balance of power in the NBA?
Well, I think this year may be tough, right? Outside of Paul George going to the Cavs as a rental, I think that's kind of the only move that can be made that all of a sudden can at least give the Cavs a real legit chance of competing against the Warriors, because you add another guy that can defend Kevin Durant. But outside of that, I don't see it. Now, next offseason, when there's so many guys that could be available, Russell Westbrook, DeMarcus Cousins, LeBron James, I know Chris Paul's a free agent now, but he could be potentially a free agent again next season. A lot of these guys who are free agents right now are using their early opt-out abilities, and they haven't technically used them yet. They're going to test the waters, but they could always opt back in and try to be a free agent next season. So there's a lot of guys that could be available next year, and I think that's kind of the year that people are looking at and saying, maybe this is the year where you start to kind of see the real maneuvering, which is 2018. So if you think this year's crazy, wait till next year.
We're talking to ESPN NBA guru George Sedano. So, George, I mean, with that in mind, does that sort of affect a little bit of this year in free agency? Are teams a little guarded towards money spent this year, knowing that there's going to be better opportunity next year?
Perhaps, yeah. I think that there are some teams that are going to look at it that way. I think that there are teams that, like the Lakers, for example, that's kind of what they're doing, right? That deal they made yesterday, sending Mozgov to New Jersey with D'Angelo Russell, was for that. It was to create space. They have the ability and the assets to trade for Paul George right now, and I think that that deal will get done here in the next couple of days. That's my guess. And then they'll have the ability to sign at least one more max player. And if they can get rid of that Luol Deng contract that was terrible that they signed last year under Mitch Kupchak and not under Magic Johnson, then all of a sudden they can potentially, depending on how many other moves they make, sign another max player, two max players. And that would mean that their nucleus would be potentially, at worst, right? It would be Paul George, a max player, Brandon Ingram, who Magic Johnson told me is the untouchable guy on the roster as far as the young guys, and then, in theory, Lonzo Ball, right? Like, that's kind of where they would start kind of their core.
You look at Kristaps Porzingis and Phil Jackson and Melo, and that soap opera's been going on for the entire year. There's no actual chance that Kristaps Porzingis gets moved, right?
I don't think so, because the asking price is so high, but, man, I would consider it, like, if I were another team. Like, if Kristaps Porzingis were in this draft right now, he'd be the number one pick. So if I were a team, like, I would really consider it. I know Philly is considering it at the moment. Now, I'm curious to see what they would give up, because there's not an actual report out there as to what kind of assets they'll give up. Would they be willing to give up the number one pick? I don't know if I'd do that. But I would consider maybe some future picks if that's what the Knicks want. But I think the Knicks also want a young player in return. I know the one deal that was on the table, it wasn't really on the table. It was what the Knicks asked for with Phoenix, was Devin Booker and the number four pick. So, yeah, that's kind of what you're looking at. The Knicks want a lottery pick, and the Knicks want a young player in return for Kristaps Porzingis. Now, that might be a little too rich for some teams, but I think he's that good, man. Like, I honestly feel like he's, again, 21 years old, 7'3". He's yet to even scratch the surface of his ability. Hasn't entered his prime yet. I would take a shot at something like that, if it were me, if I had the assets.
George, I can't have you on and not ask you about LeBron. How does this situation resolve itself?
I think he's gone after next season. Like, I think it's set in stone. I think once he won the championship, I think those wheels started turning, a year or so ago. So, yeah, I think that he's good with his commitment to Cleveland, right? He, quote-unquote, won one for the land, right? That's what the marketing campaign was. And I think that now he feels like, no matter what I've done, my legacy here is cemented. I broke the 50-year curse. They're not the mistake by the lake anymore, whatever you want to call it, right? So he can do his final chapter whatever he wants. So I think he either ends up in L.A. on one of the two teams there, or I think there is a slim possibility he could end up back in Miami.
If he goes to L.A., what are the pieces that are needed in place? What stepping stones would you see? Like, Chris Paul stays there, Jerry West. Like, what pieces, like, what's the precursor to him going to L.A.?
Well, I think the Clippers, everyone seems to think it's the Lakers, right? But I seem to think that of those two teams, it's the Clippers because of Chris Paul, because they can clear the decks some financially next season. Because if you, I don't know if you saw this, but DeAndre Jordan is on the trade block. Worst case scenario, DeAndre Jordan is going to opt out next year because he can just opt out for more money, more long-term security. So the key is Blake Griffin. Like, if they let Blake walk, that's a big sign to me that they think they can get LeBron, because then all of a sudden they can completely wipe the decks. I think it's like 70 or 80 million they can free up in 2018, depending on who they can, you know, whose rights they can resign. But I think that all makes sense. He's very close to Jerry West. Jerry West has been a guy who has defended LeBron at every turn because, much like LeBron, Jerry West had a tough time in the NBA Finals. And, he realizes, as great as I was, I couldn't get it done outside of the one time. And I played with Elgin Baylor and Will Chamberlain, for God's sake, at least for a good portion of my career. So he can kind of empathize with LeBron and some of the issues he's had once he gets to the NBA Finals when he's facing better teams. But, yeah, I think that the Clippers are a legit spot for LeBron James.
Fantastic stuff, guys. Follow him on Twitter, at Sedano ESPN. Watch him on SportsCenter. Buddy, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it. Enjoy Miami.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Great stuff from George Sedano. We'll go right from George to another ESPN guy. We're going to go to Ryan McGee. We mentioned it earlier. Ryan McGee talked to Phil Fulmer yesterday. We'll talk to Ryan McGee about Fulmer and everything else in college. We'll do that next up on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.